Kips listeners, today I'm sharing everyone's favorite lunchtime indulgence, the double quarter pounder with cheese from McDonald's. It's the go-to that keeps you full and energized for the rest of the day. It's not just a meal, it's a whole experience. You know it's fresh when you feel that heat through the bag. For those of us who know burgers, the McDonald's drive-thru is all about the double QPC. When those burger cravings hit, nothing comes even close. Get a drip that's as far as your drip when you order a double quarter pounder with cheese at McDonald's. Fresh beef at participating U.S. McDonald's excludes Alaska, Hawaii, and U.S. territories.
I'm Annie Apple, and I'm here to invite you to come and listen to my new podcast series, Raising a Pro. It's the most intimate sports-related conversations you will hear. Each week, we explore the journeys of some of your favorite NFL players through the eyes of those that know them best. From Joe Burrow, DeAndre Hopkins, Myles Garrett, Ezekiel Elliott, Nick and Joey Bosa, just to name a few. With exclusive insights and information, we leave no stone unturned. Subscribe now to Raising a Pro on your favorite podcast app.
HD Smartcast.
You are listening to an HD Smartcast original.
Don't you always want to hear it right from the horse's mouth? I certainly do. I want the best and the brightest minds in the industry to tell me about it. Yeah, Tell Me About It is my latest podcast. Since I come across so many interesting people in the industry, some of my favorite students, they ask me if I can speak to some really intelligent and well-known people on hot and trending topics. You know, like content, influencers, health, branding, entrepreneurship, and more. Who am I to quiz the best and brightest, you ask? Well, I am Siddharth Deshmukh, also known as the Traveling Professor. Maybe you've heard me before somewhere. Yeah, I teach across various institutes. Join me and new experts every week over two parts where we dissect these topics and try to make sense of them. Hopefully, learn something about it when they tell me about it. This podcast is an HT Smartcast original and is available on htsmartcast.com, India's fastest growing podcast producing platform.
Welcome officially to both Mayank and Dwari. Thank you for making it out here. I know that you had lots of wonderful places to go to on this. Now that you're stuck with me. Here we go. I really think that this is going to be a wonderful opportunity to talk to a couple of the brightest minds I know in the field of education. And I don't use my word lightly. I really mean what I say. The first time I met Mayank, I thought he was a college kid himself. He was somebody who met me, I think, 4 years back in MICA, I think. And we started creating an almost impossible plan out at that point in time, which was to get an educational institute and, something which is new. Nobody knew what the hell they were grad. And we were trying to figure out a way in which we can get digital marketing at MICA to kind of collaborate with UpGrad. And we formed a really successful ever since. And I've been happily associated with Mayank team from a MICA perspective. And it has been an absolute pleasure to watch them, see how they've evolved over a period of time. And a lot of that credit goes to the founder and MD, Mayank Kumar. So welcome to you. And thank you for that.
Yeah.
The second guy I'd like to talk to you guys about is Dwari. And Dwari Unyal is somebody I've met and always been inspired by, not just the way in which he changes his looks every single time, exceptionally fluorescent blue specs and a mustache now, but he is one of the brightest minds I've seen. He's actually a very interesting guy for me to know personally because he knows MICA in and out. He's actually grown with MICA when it was growing, in those Atul Tandon years. And I think that, and obviously, you know, Anil Kulkarni from SPGen, and we really both hold him in great regard and respect, and shout out to him. And then Dwari is now in his new innings, dean of the School of Business at Wave. Very interesting sort of situation. With him because I've seen him deal with lighter, a very able administrator, but he also, I've heard from a lot of students that he's a wonderful, wonderful teacher. So, and he, besides all that, well. So a multifaceted sort of person. And I'm sure that he will add a lot of weight to this communication. So what we're going to do today is I don't want to talk about the normal bullshitty way in which webinars happen. I don't want to talk about you guys introducing Upgrad or Flame. Everybody knows what Upgrad and Flame is by now. For the moment, we can talk and, you know, discuss it as and how it comes naturally in the communication, right? But I'd like to introduce the topic. Now, the topic is obviously everyone and their uncle has been talking about what next in education, right? This has been going on for the past 2 or 3 years, but it has received a special impetus with this thing that we've got, right? And interesting sort of situation for us to actually see us as educators. Don't worry, Dwari, it's all good. Anybody can come in and say hi from the family. We all understand and accept that in these times. But coming back to education, what we are trying to figure out is what next, right? So what I wanted to start this conversation, and this is a question for both of you, okay? What will you tell your kid to do today? About being educated. So I want to make it up close and personal. I don't want you guys to put on CEO hats and MD hats and the rest of it. I want you to tell me, what will you, you know, tell your kid today about how to, you know, get educated? And depending upon obviously where that kid is, I have to get Mayank to go first, and then maybe we can, yeah?
Yeah, so mine is 6 years old. So I know that in 20 years time or 23, 24 years time, he will, 18, 17 years time, he will start hitting the job market. And I think that's where he will continue studying. I don't know how I can explain him, but one of the things that I'm pushing him is that I doubt that 50 or 60% of the job that he would have access to exist today. And therefore, I cannot push him towards one way or the other. So I remember when I was 5 or 6 years old, my parents would say, okay, do you want to be in defense? Do you want to be in army? Do you want to be in a police inspector? Do you want to be an engineer or a doctor? The typical 5-6 trades that used to exist at that point in time. And I think today when I'm talking to my son, I just cannot tell him you can be any one of those. Because knowing that those jobs may not even exist when he is looking at a job. So I think one of the first thing that at least I'm trying to inculcate in him, your learning and education need not be a charted out process. It will be an experimentation. It will be a discovery as you go along. And the critical learning skill that you need to have is just the ability to learn and the ability to unlearn. So you can learn about steam engine, which may not exist by the time you are out. But you equally need to understand how, let's say, an autonomous, because my son really loves cars, he wants to understand steam engine as much as he wants to understand autonomous vehicle. So I think ability to learn continuously, unlearn, and how to learn that entire process is critical. It's been the biggest sort of push that I'm making him have, because I just don't know what I can push him to learn, because many other things that he will learn would disappear. But the second very important thing, Siddharth, is that these days there are multitude of devices that he has access to. He can read up on Kindle, he can pick up the phone, he can go to the pad and study something. The one thing that I'm pushing him a lot, because I know that in this world, reading, writing, arithmetic, whatever that we used to call it, a lot of it will get devices. So one of the things at least I'm pushing him is that to build a very, very strong habit of reading. Because if he's not in the process of reading and absorbing those knowledge, while he talks to Alexa and gets a lot of information, I have to inculcate the habit of reading, because there's so much information available out there, which I don't want at this point in time some of the basic learning traits for him to miss out, which given the device explosion, it's very easy to miss out right now.
Okay. So learning to learn and learning to understand how technological devices actually work. I think are two key themes that I'm getting from you. What about you, Dwari? What do you think?
Well, he has already told me, shut up.
Okay. He's already told you to shut up. Okay.
Yeah. So he's figured it out. He's 13-year-old. He's getting... And as you know him, I've been telling him about... He's a special child. He's a self-learner, which means school is redundant for him. Okay. We send him to the school because if we want him to have a socialization. But there were things there, rather than me telling him what needs to be done, kids today are extremely exposed to multitude of opportunities, and their exposure is tremendous. Because of technology, because of the way we live our life, or because of the way me and my wife has brought him up in terms of giving him exposure to the world, to India, to take him around and travel and so on and so forth. So rather than me telling him this is what he's supposed to do and what would happen in next 10 years' time, he has figured it out at this point of time. He wants to do one thing very, very clear, which is that he wants to make interesting, exciting, but meaningful films. And he's already has a YouTube channel for last 3 years. He makes some interesting films, but he has to learn a lot. It would require a lot of equipment, new technology, new animation. And for that, he needs a lot of money. That comes to his another side of the brain, which says, let's make money and become an entrepreneur. So Mayank, I think he's going in your line. You know, he doesn't want to learn from the professor. Father, he says, let me start my company. When are you getting me my phone, my bank account? When are you forming that company for me? He already is into game making and game design and Python coding. So he wants to monetize those so that he can quickly get it into the money making mode, which his father has always been stayed away. So I think, and then things will evolve for him, right? I'm sure, right? As he would move on to new technologies and new world and interacts with a larger pool of people around him. Nice. So for me, the way things are looking at personally for me is to how to make the fundamentals of socialization because what happens is that when you are living in your own world and you're secluded in an island where I live in, for example, you tend to lose the sight of your growing up years, and you tend to lose the sight of what is also important to be emotional, to have those kind of learning journeys and not grow up too fast, too soon. You know, my battle is to not let him grow too fast, too soon. But at the same time, I think kids their age, and by the time Mayank's son comes in another 6 years and my son goes to college, they will be living in a very, very different world wherein they will not have as reverence for institutions. Okay, my son is already questioning that why he has to learn 60-70 subjects where when his heart is into these three interesting dynamics and interplay of this. All I'm trying to do is yes, of course, I'm trying to force him to read, which he doesn't want to because he wants to create things all the time, but ask questions. Yeah. So this is where, since the time he was 5 or 6, I've tried to inculcate this habit in him to ask freaky, crazy questions all the time. And we used to have something of a diary called the Weird Question Diary, or a Weird Question Board, wherein he would write one day about, does God exist? And if the God exists in our hearts, then we can heart surgeon see him all the time, you know? And then to multiple to different questions about the existential questions to larger questions of the universe to the in very basic mundane questions about why water gets logged in a rainy season in Pune. Okay. And can we find a way to solve it? So I think my struggle is to keep ensuring that he keeps asking questions and maybe hopefully in his life to solve some of them, you know?
So you've led me to a very beautiful segue to my next question, which is also to both of you. But I just want to now get you out of your homes and kids and stuff like that and figure out, here there's an 18-year-old, right, who comes to Mayank and says, firstly Mayank, then Dwari. So and says, hey, you know what, this COVID-19 shit is really screwing my brain. I don't know whether I should be actually going to an institution right now and learning. I want to take a gap year. Okay, what will you advise him? Same question comes to you, Dwari, in a bit.
I think very interesting right now. So I've been, and actually that's already, right. And I strongly encourage them to take a gap year.
Right.
Because I do believe that the campus experience that you get when you are in the undergrad program is extremely critical to what Dwari said about building the social skills. And without that, it just, I mean, going to MICA has a different charm altogether. I mean,
sure.
Going to campus has a different charm altogether. And if you cannot, at this point in time, for an undergrad program, and you can potentially, i.e. there are a lot of people who cannot go because of social problems.
Sure.
Yeah, don't kill my program, Maya. Don't give him ideas. Okay, let him concentrate on his postgrad. I will manage the kids in undergrad and send it to Micah.
Yeah, no.
All right.
I think but a very interesting time to actually take time out, and if you are interested in entrepreneurship, if you are interested in coding, if you are interested in any of those passion thing that you have, which you have been always holding back because you know that at 18 I have to do this. It's like a polio vaccination that when you turn 18 you have to go to college. But given the interesting time, I do believe that there is no reason if you can afford to. And I'm just using that word very cautiously because a lot of people cannot afford to. If you can afford to, explore what you could. Because the moment you get into the rut, it gets very difficult for you to explore in the long run. And I think while a lot of folks are taking up online ecosystem to learn, I do feel that one of the critical components of 18-year-old is the campus experience. If the campus experience is not there, figure it out what you want to do from your own perspective. And but the moment the campus experience comes back, I strongly encourage to get that because that's once in a lifetime sort of experience. And I say this right now because in the journey of learning will be lifelong. And you will get only once in a lifetime experience to go back to a campus and learn something meaningful. Although at this point in time, that is the only experience.
Yeah.
But I'm very sure that when people talk about 20 years from now, they will say, okay, it's a once in a lifetime experience. Go to a campus, learn something. Because you anyways have to learn continuously. So that's where I stand.
That's a very interesting perspective because what I see in your answer is a lot of, let's say, okay, 20 years from now, this is how people will look back at education. So that's a very interesting perspective. Dwari, what do you think?
I kind of somewhere agree with, on a personal note, I'm not putting up a dean's hat because if I say, my numbers will go down. But having said that, I am of the tremendous belief that we Indians, especially Indian parents like me, for example, or others, do not let our kids to really, really, we don't set them free. Okay. And we do not have that kind of a confidence or whatever to really take their own decisions rather than their adults and they really want to do that. I grew up in a very small town in Rajasthan. But one of the best things which had happened to me in the KV I studied in, it was that we used to have sports and we used to have scouts and guides. So from the time I was in grade 3, which means like from 83 till now, almost 37, 40 years, I've been traveling all around and got exposed to some amazing. And earlier I could travel around India in trains and buses on my own. And now, of course, all around the world, is that we need to put up this, freedom to the kid to explore a lot more before you commit yourself to a formal 4 years of education. If you can afford, if you are willing, I get a lot of students at Flame because they are a liberal education institution and first year any which way is an exploration. And as Mayanga and you being here and teacher is to create that student experience, but otherwise also people who cannot come to a place like Flame or MICA or some better larger institutions going to a standard 4 year or 3 year degree program, if they can, they should definitely try and explore whatever in terms of travel around the country, in terms of pick up interesting projects, pick up with work with some interesting crazy organizations, because end of the day, the life learning is not linked with your 4 year degree and the subjects you take up. Your learning is a larger amalgamation of your life experience, and that's where I think we end up missing out. we might get a kid to say, drop karke Kota chale jao.
Yeah.
You know, and waste your 1 year and go 18 hours of, you know, excruciating studies. But nobody say, beta, ye le tere 50,000 rupaye saal bhar ke tu, ab baith ke ek saal ghoom le. You know, and then next year college mein aa jayega. This is no issue because drop to year dono saal mein kar rahe ho. You see my point?
Yeah.
You know, I think that's somewhere parents in this generation and students in this generation can afford to do this. At least in the upper middle class, at least in the middle class, in the tier 2, tier 3 towns as well. I'm not too sure about the rural areas. These are very different.
Yeah.
But if a kid comes to me today, I would always say, why is, you want to study for many, many years. Why so hurry to come to the classroom? Why don't you look at the world as a classroom? Go and explore yourself. I agree with that one.
Okay. All right. Well, and now I have individual questions. By the way, I'm getting this stream of questions which I'm showing you just to scare you a little. The question I have for Mayank, let's start with Mayank, okay? Now, this is a tough one. Do you think adding certifications actually adds value to your CV? I like the way in which he's used the word actually adds value to your CV. I could also kind of think, could you add just the 5 skills everyone should learn in this lockdown? Or maybe...
Yeah, no, I think on the first one, I personally don't feel that certification and adding certification adds value as much as what you learn as part of the certification program that adds value. I think the world where we are right now, certification is a good signaling parameter to tell someone that look, XYZ and therefore I've learned something. But in the process of that, like we offer tons of free programs and we say, okay, now you get certification completion. A lot of people do this and collect that certificate. But in true sense, have you really picked up something? Have you really learned something? And yeah. Unless you have learned it, the value does not come in. Beyond that learning, the critical thing that specifically that we believe in is that, okay, when you have learned it, you still need that push to get a transition, to get a job, to find something out there. And that's why, even if you do some certification program online, you need to have the career services, placement services, because an engine is not necessarily on its own. So yeah. I'm not of the belief that you can collect a lot of certificate and it becomes valuable. And it's not that if you laminate it, it becomes even more valuable. And if you put a golden border, it becomes even more valuable. That's not how people should look at it. It is about what you picked up, because in today's day and age, I think one of the things people are not realizing is that our parents were in one job for the entire career. In today's context, everyone is shifting job every 3 to 4 years period. And if you do not pick up those skills, it's very difficult for you to transition. And that skill is available on YouTube for free. You can get it easily for free. You don't have to spend for certification. But if you feel you cannot be, I mean, you need that handholding, you need that position, you need that journey, you need some credibility to go out and talk to someone else.
Yeah.
Certification does help in that process. But if you have not learned, people will see through you very quickly.
So what are the 5 things?
Yeah, for me, I think 5 things, at this point in time, if I see what is trending and where people are sort of paying to it, and I think what I'm seeing right now, a lot of push towards entrepreneurial thought process, entrepreneurship. A lot of people are, we have a Startup India program with Government of India. We have seen a significant spike in people taking that program. It's a free program, but everyone has taken that up. Because people are now thinking, and I know there's a lot of Atmanirbhar coming into everyone's thought process. So can you be Atmanirbhar in the entire context of thinking of something of your own? Coding and what Gauri mentioned about Python coding, that piece again is seeing a strong sort of push and strong traction when people are going and picking up things. While a lot of folks on the other hand, in specifically in your field, marketing and digital marketing and people learning those skills, how to blog, how to write, how to create content, how to sort of monetize that entire piece, we are seeing strong traction. And I think multiple skills, but I think those are 3 things that stand out between entrepreneurship, picking up a hard skill of data.
Yeah.
But I've seen a very interesting trend this time around. Is what we are realizing is that while a lot of push has happened overall from the online education world, we are seeing that the hard skill, the increase that we have witnessed on hard skill versus the jump that we have witnessed on soft skill a significant difference. People are now spending more for, or rather going more for soft skill programs.
Really?
And I was surprised to note that, and then the hypothesis that is holding up there is that, look, hard skill people have been used to doing. But in this lockdown, because they have time, because of thought process, they are looking at skills like how to be a better leader, how to be a better negotiator, how to handle large team, how to set in, understand stock investing and investing in the personal finance, etc. And I believe that the entire sort of holding back and the venting of the energy, the moment the lockdown happened, people are saying, okay, I've been ignoring this for quite some time.
Yeah.
I never realized how I could be or a better singer or a better negotiator or better manager. Let me do that right now because of hard skill to main hamesha se, I've been doing it irrespective.
That's my contrarian thing, man. Just before I go to Dwari, it's a very contrarian thing because normally what you would think of is like in times of fear and uncertainty, you will kind of double down on a hard skill, right? Seems to be the exact opposite.
Yeah, what happens, Siddharth, is that during the non-lockdown periods, the regular period, no one does any personal development programs.
Right.
Zilch. So it has had a base of absolutely nothing. Uh-huh. While the hard skill already has a base established because you tend to do that. Both have moved up, but the percentage increase is significant and something that personally as an individual, as a manager, if you spoke, make a better LinkedIn profile, it gets far more number of participation compared to saying, let's learn SEO skills for tomorrow.
Very interesting. Thank you. That was a very insightful and very contrarian sort of expectation that I had from this answer, from you really. Question for Dwari. Actually, it's addressed to both of us, but now let us try to ask you this question. This is... in context to see, I've seen UpGrad work, right? So they've got this entire support system. And a lot of other good players in the online space, they've got this entire support system that allows for education to be kind of looked upon as content, in a sense. It is more than content. Peer-based learning and this platform does well and all of it. Now, the giant elephant of institution has, kind of moved into the space because all of us as teachers were forced to actually get into and start teaching online suddenly. We have to make a decision. We seem to have done quite reasonably okay, in terms of actually finishing up the last term or something. I've taught in MICA, I've taught obviously at Flame, I've taught in a couple of other places, and I've seen that transition. My question, the question to both of us, and I'd let you go first, is we often find it difficult to grasp the things where we learn online. Still, do you think the learning will move towards an online education system?
That's been a question which is very much on our head for almost so many years.
Yeah.
And not just COVID.
Yeah.
But before I answer, I just want to add to what Mayank's observation was.
Yeah.
As we speak in this conversation, my wife, who's an artist, has picked up an additional online coaching from another artist to learn a craft which she's been ignoring. So she's an oil painter, but she's picked up charcoal art.
Mm.
Okay. As we speak, from 17th onwards, which is tomorrow onwards, I have signed up for 7-day acting classes from Evam, Sunil Vishnu and his team.
Super.
And he's right, because these are the times when we realize that we've been ignoring this for like ages. I was a born actor, but never went into acting. I ended up becoming teacher to act in front of these students and unsuspecting audiences and things. But today I realized that probably it won't harm me if I learn from the practitioners a little bit more about it and so on. But that is the way to go. Anyway, coming back to the very moot question. You just look at the old ancient wisdom of how we used to learn, Siddha. Okay, so if you read up the Shastras, it says aapki seekhne ki 4-5 stages hain, right? And first is Shravan, second is Manan, third is Chintan, Fourth is Dhyan. So the Rishi Munis to the times and the older ancient, where how before the American and the British system came to India, this is how the learning used to happen. And in between, we had this vocational training, which means you are doing the action part of it, which means you are practicing trade which you learned from.
Yeah.
The philosophy and history and the larger knowledge domains were learned in Shravan Manan and Chintan Dhyan. But the vocational and the craft form was also learned from the masters in the more practicing form rather than only this form.
Yeah.
So listening, thinking, reflection, action, and eventual, thinking about it is the way people used to learn and need to learn that stages. Somewhere in our larger ecosystem, the focus ended up becoming 80% on listening. When in business schools and some action-oriented schools and others, they will have some bit of reflection and some bit of thinking, which is through case method or through where putting yourself in a decision-making situation, you're training your mind to do that. Very less action when it comes to engineering school, practicum and other ones, and medical school definitely are the forefront of it, and law school also. But business schools and a lot of other universities and others have never been able to look at more on that side of it. But if you have to start looking at, if you don't have to teach a state, I think the teachers and all of us have a realization now that we are no longer teachers, that we would come to our class to teach. Our job is to ensure that whatever is the final outcome of our learning has to be made so that the pupil or my student learns. Ab yen ken prakaran, how do you make them learn is the question. One part of that is, of course, we're in asynchronous or a synchronous learning platform, where you have platforms like Upgrad and others are there in this country who would do it. Now with Microsoft Teams and Zoom and all these guys are coming into the picture, have used it both synchronous and asynchronous. Let me give you a couple of examples how a couple of my colleagues, and sorry for using a flame example here, but my colleagues were different, because we run 20 majors and you know that, and not taking the social science, management and mathematics, that's a standard one. I had colleagues in cinematography, I had colleagues in filmmaking, I had colleagues in theater, drama, dance and music.
Yeah.
Now imagine, they've always been performing. Bada stage chahiye, bachche chahiye, amphitheater chahiye, live faculty chahiye, tab jaake sikhenge, right? For ded mahina, they picked up so beautifully. So they made small videos, put that on Slack.
Yeah.
They created channels and put that on Slack. They made synchronous and asynchronous situation, pausing their form, training them, teaching them, taking the feedback. Parallel, there is a WhatsApp group coming in. So the whole idea is, technology or no technology, we know that unless there is an engagement with you as a person and the peer-to-peer learning,
yeah,
and you and then, there is no learning happening. Now,
yeah,
challenge is technology. How do we now move forward to create that environment if the physical possibility is not there and still learning doesn't get suffered? So आपको कुछ भी करके बच्चे को सिखाना है, कुछ भी करके बच्चे को मोटिवेट करना है, स्टूडेंट को मोटिवेट करना है कि आप सीखोगे, उसके लिए आप चाहे फोन का इस्तेमाल करो, टेक्नोलॉजी का इस्तेमाल करो, यूट्यूब का इस्तेमाल करो, लाइव क्लास का इस्तेमाल करो, जूम के जो पोलिंग होते हैं, क्लासरूम सेशन होते हैं, उसका इस्तेमाल करो. All you need to do is that create that engagement over a period of time, post classroom, Google classroom, hangouts, where you're discussing situations and so on and so forth. I think somewhere we have to adapt to the new realities of the world, wherein blended is in. Blended was always seen as somewhere far off, somebody is doing. Now with COVID, what is that? It is given a jhata to everybody, right from Harvard to all of us. It is said, boss, you have not been innovating enough in the art of pedagogy. You've been innovating on the content and the creation of new knowledge and others, but how to teach, where to teach, and how to go about creating that ecosystem, you have never innovated enough. Now with COVID, one, Corona has given a thappad to everybody and saying that, boss, shut up, innovate. I think we were forced to innovate in a way, but from now onwards, you will have a chief technology officer in a university.
Yeah.
You will have people like Mayank and others coming in and giving us tools, technologies, and ideas to how to create and create more engaging environments and platforms, so that learning doesn't go back to the same hierarchy of Shravan, Manan, Chintan, Dhyan, and action, as I put it, and another layer to it, that how do you ensure this in a university system or in a larger learning ecosystem, even if at school, for example.
Yeah.
And so it's a challenging note.
My feeling is that a lot of faculty has been, so I look at faculty as theater artists.
Okay. Yeah.
And actually, suddenly they're needing to do movies.
Yeah.
Need to do movies. And there's a big difference in being somebody who's a theater artist and to moving into, doing a movie. So it's a different set of skills. You have to tone down your emotions. You have to look at
voice modulation. I'm telling you, smaller things. You've known me for ages. I speak so fast. Unfortunately, the way my mind works pretty. Now, when I was teaching to an undergraduate class, I realized, and I've taught online, I've used Talent Edge and a few others, but I realized that, my voice modulation, my eyes, the way I would look at the camera, this is a new, apart from content, I think, this also needs to be trained in a particular way. I had colleagues who would go to the classroom and create and recreate a classroom situation.
Yeah.
And try and adapt to the challenges of it, so that learning doesn't get suffered. See, end of the day, that's where the challenge lies with all of us as teachers. कि बस कुछ भी करके अगर बच्चे ने सीखा नहीं और उसको क्लास के 4 घंटे 15 मिनट में उसको लगा कि क्या बकवास कर रहा है, YouTube पे जाके देख लूंगा, आई थिंक वी हैव लॉस्ट इट एज आवर प्रोफेशन.
वाओ, दैट वाज अ गुड वन, राइट? More of where that came from soon. Want to reach out to me? I'm Siddharth Deshmukh and I'm the traveling professor on Instagram. You'll find the funny side of me there. And on LinkedIn, I'm a little bit more serious, but I'm still the traveling professor. To give us feedback, you can reach out to us on HT Smartcast. We are present on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, Twitter, and YouTube, the usual suspects. To listen to more podcasts, log on to htsmartcast.com or suno naye nazariye se. And join me in the journey. Onward ho!
This was an HT Smartcast original.
HT Smartcast.
I'm Annie Apple, and I'm here to invite you to come and listen to my new podcast series, Raising a Pro. It's the most intimate sports-related conversations you will hear. Each week, we explore the journeys of some of your favorite NFL players through the eyes of those that know them best. From Joe Burrow, DeAndre Hopkins, Myles Garrett, Ezekiel Elliott, Nick and Joey Bosa, just to name a few. With exclusive insights and information, we leave no stone unturned. Subscribe now to Raising a Pro on your favorite podcast app.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Wake up to a delicious morning with your favorite McDonald's breakfast sandwiches, now just $2, only in the app. Choose from a bacon, egg, and cheese biscuit, sausage McMuffin, or bacon, egg, and cheese McGriddles, just $2, only in the app. That's a deal as irresistible as the sandwiches themselves. Plus, you'll save time by ordering ahead in the app. Offer valid one time per day from July 29th through September 1st at participating McDonald's. Must opt in to rewards.